Hello, I'd like to welcome you back once again to Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. My name is Matthew Monona, and along with my wife, Victoria, we are the owners and operators of the Wash and Word Hand Car Wash. And you may be saying, well, what does Verse by Verse Bible Teaching have to do with the Wash and Word Hand Car Wash? Well, we created this business for the sole purpose of getting God's Word out into the public ear in a very non-traditional way. And how we do that is not only do we play these Bible teachings Monday through Friday on WMCH 1260 AM radio at 8:30 in the morning, but we take those five messages each week and we play them on a loop over a small radio transmitter, and they transmit on FM 107.1. So if you come into the parking lot, tune to 107.1 FM any day of the week, any time of the day. I mean, let's face it, friends, we need to hear from God sometimes. And when we do verse-by-verse Bible teaching, we are giving you the entirety of God's counsel, all of His Word. So at any given moment, you can come into this parking lot area, tune to 107.1 FM, and God may have a word for you. I don't have a word for you. I'm just merely trying to bring God's Word out in the giftings that He's given to me through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I leave the rest of it up to God. So we're putting them out there. Hopefully you'll come by and listen to them. If you've missed any of our teachings leading up to what we're about to get into today, simply go to washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. That's our website. You can download, listen to all of our archive messages there for free. And we encourage you to come by the Wash and Word. Let us wash your car. We work to earn the money to support this ministry. We never ask for any kind of charity or tithings or donations. We believe, like Paul, that the Word of God should never be sold or peddled. In fact, that's one of our mottos here. We want to settle the Word of God and not peddle it. And we take the scripture that says, in everything you do, do it for the glory of God. So we wash cars for God's glory. And hopefully, prayerfully, these messages are going out and blessing and helping you to get through. So we're going to pick it back up where we left off. 1 John chapter 3. We've already read verse 1 through 10 a couple of messages ago, but we really needed to spend a lot of time on verses 1 through 10 because there's that, if you've been listening, you know that there's that struggle between having a new creation, a new spirit, yet at the same time we have the old nature and the flesh still in us. And so sometimes we do sin, don't we? We mess up and we still fall victim to our sinful life and sinful behavior and things that we used to do. And what we're trying to reconcile here is the fact that we sin versus how detrimental that sin is to our lives. In fact, and this is where the problem comes in, several times in verses 1 through 10, John says things along the lines of, if you continue in sin, you never knew Jesus. He says that if you sin, you belong to the Antichrist. I mean, these are flat out, blunt, straightforward verses that would cause any believer, whether you're a brand new believer or a mature Christian disciple, to question your own salvation sometimes. And the problem with verses like this is they can create that condemnation in our lives. We know from the book of Romans that there is therefore no condemnation for those that are in Christ. And when the devil loses a person to Jesus, he doesn't necessarily leave them alone. In fact, he just changes the strategy. See, his main goal was always to keep Jesus from going to the cross. And when that failed, he tries to keep people from going to Jesus. And when that fails, he tries to keep people who have gone to Jesus from growing. Because, friends, the most threatening thing to the devil's kingdom is a growing Christian. And so his number one goal after a person gets saved is to keep them from growing in grace and knowledge. That is why almost every New Testament epistle ends with, grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Why? Because a growing Christian is a weapon against the kingdom of darkness. And the devil knows it. So what does he do? He tries to bring condemnation. And when we read straightforward words like verses 1 through 10 in John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, we can easily fall victim to condemnation. And that condemnation will begin to lead to doubts. And doubts leads to an ineffectiveness. And guess what, friends? An ineffective Christian is no threat to the enemy kingdom. So We're to take God's word and we are to meditate on it and we are to expound upon it. This is why it's so important not to leave anything out. This is why we do verse by verse. We need all of God's word if we're going to be well-rounded enough to fight back against the devil and against this world and against this culture that flows ever more against the concepts of the word of God. And we ended in our last teaching by saying that, you know, when we weren't Christians, we were incapable of positioning ourselves outside of the camp that lines itself with the Antichrist or the man of lawlessness or quite simply the sinful nature. But in Christ, we now have a new birth. We have a new beginning. We still have the old flesh, but now we have the power to say no to it. And the trick to that is staying close to Jesus. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, I in him, he will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. This is Jesus speaking. So now the struggle against our sinful flesh or our sinful desires, it takes on a whole new meaning, a real meaning, because this is all about Jesus. It's about abiding in him and remaining in him and making, listen, a conscious effort to align yourself with as much of Christ's attributes as you possibly can. And those attributes are going to coincide with aligning yourself with God. And when you align yourself with God, you are now not aligning yourself with the lawless one. So being aligned with God through Jesus demands that we have a change in behavior. So now we take on the behavioral characteristics of a parent, just like a normal child would take on the character of their parents, as well as the physical attributes. But now those behavioral characteristics are of Jesus. We take on Jesus's image, his creation. We are made in his likeness. Jesus was the incarnation of God. And so to know Jesus is to know and act like God, to be God-like, to be God-driven. So we aren't humanistic. We don't sit here and say we're going to become God. No, we take on the attributes of God. Well, how do we know what the attributes of God are? Well, two ways. One, take a look at Jesus's life. That's God incarnate. Therefore, whatever Jesus did were the attributes of God. But secondly, we take his word. And all of his word brings forth the attributes of God. So when we ask the question, as John so succinctly did, do I even know Jesus? Ask yourself, who do I resemble? And if you do a heart search of your life, if it doesn't look a little bit like Jesus, then we need to continue to ask ourselves, am I even saved? Because there are a lot of people out there who are going to hear, away from me, I never knew you. And so to consciously continue in your sin, quite frankly, is to negate the work of Christ. And who would consciously do that? Well, those who don't have the Spirit. To consciously continue in your sin is the attribute of one who has not the Spirit of God. Those who deny the truth about God. And there are those who say, I cannot stop this sin. Well, I tell you, that's the same thing as saying, I will not stop this sin. You know, there are a lot of sins out there that now have medical conditions attached to them. Look, we don't need sin to be labeled as some kind of affliction. Sin is sin. And again, to say I cannot stop this is another way of saying I will not stop this. So when John says something like in verse 6, no one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or know him. We got to ask ourselves, wait a minute, I continue to sin sometimes. You see, this is more a reflection of the work of Christ, not the behavior of Christians. What I mean by that is striving to be sinless. Friends, it's futile. We're never going to be sinless this side of glory. But striving to rest in the finished work of the sinless one, well, now we're going to make some headway. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come unto me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." You see, to try and stop sinning is a fleshly act, as much as the sin itself. So let us consciously try to rest in the finished work of Christ. And the more we rest in Jesus, the greater that draw of that sin will start to go away. Thus, the identifying characteristic of a believer is no longer sin, but righteousness. And that's how we connect these verses, because the beginning part of verse 7 serves as a connection between the verses we just read. Remember, the false teaching of that day was the Gnostic thinking that since the world and everything in it is evil and knows nothing else but evil, and the spiritual things and everything in the spiritual realm is always good and knows nothing but good, then they're saying you can still follow Jesus, you can still be saved, you can still be righteous, but your actions are no longer connected or accountable in any way. And this, of course, we know to be extremely a false teaching. And so these 10 verses can either be just a simple reading for what they are and you can move on to verse 11, or, which in hindsight, maybe I should have just done that, but I'm kidding, because it's so important we understand. I've taken 4 15-minute messages to go over verses 1 through 10 because they are some heady verses that we needed to look at. We needed to look at them. You see, the New Age philosophy of today, of the world, it's the same. It's still Gnosticism at its very core, but it has a twist. Now, there isn't even a spiritual realm in the vast majority of our humanistic society. There is no God, just an existential reality, that, of course, which can be altered or evolved through self-effort. We're all going to just change into our own gods one day. That's why after that part in verse 7, he says, "Dear children, don't let anyone lead you astray." And that is what this world is doing here today. And being born of God sets us on a new path. No longer do we draw our water from a dirty well. We are now filled with the Spirit of God, and thus the water that flows from us should be clean, just as Jesus himself proclaimed in John 7:38, "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within them." So again, as we wind this teaching down, I have to ask, do you know him? How are your rivers? Are they flowing clean? Is it pure water coming from you? And you could take everything that I've just said over the last 4 messages, and you can simply come to this passage with a face, you know, with face value that, yes, God wants us to stop sinning. Or we can say that he wants you to seek righteousness by aligning yourself with Jesus. As a believer in God, we have to remember God is a jealous God. He will not tolerate being shared. And God is not happy with good enough or status quo. Because look around. The church has been status quo for too long, and our voice has become quiet. And the voice of wickedness is the only one we hear today. And the only way we're going to make a difference in this world is we must become radical, revolutionary, a little rebellious, and we have to teach the whole counsel of God's word. Friends, if you're listening today, we need to get our pulpits back into the fullness of his word. If we're not preaching the Bible in its entirety from our pulpits, if we're not teaching all of the aspects of God's word, we are doing our congregations a grave injustice. Look around. The evidence is in. The fruit is manifest. The voice of the church has no power. So let's get back into it. I pray these teachings are encouraging you and challenging you at the same time. Remember, you can come to my teaching session live, verse by verse Bible teaching, Sunday nights at 6 p.m. at Abundant Life Fellowship at 415 Old Union Road, or you can join me here at the Washington Word, and don't forget 107.1 FM anywhere in the parking lot 24/7 if you want to hear a message from God. Have a blessed day.